turn to the passage of scripture read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. This is a psalm of instruction, as the word maskil means in the introduction. It's a psalm of David, where David makes his complaint to God about his enemies. There are two sections to that. He's praying about his enemies in general, which were a burden to him. But then more particularly, he complains about the unfaithfulness of his professed friends, or some of them. We don't know who he's referring to, whether it's his own family, Absalom, whether it was his counselor, Ahithophel. We don't know. But he had many enemies, David. And there were those connected with him that just did not turn out to be true. And he brings it before the Lord. Yeah. And it's marvelous in the midst of this, how his faith rises above it all, and the certainty of deliverance. From verse 16, 17 and 18, and you see the importance of prayer. What does he do? Does he run to men? Does he run even to the church? No. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And even before the event was, the outcome had any certainty, we see his faith. At verse 18, he has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. And he is writing not for this, just for himself, for the church in his own time, but for the church in all ages. What, in the light of what I've said by way of introduction, the introduction is brief, but what is the instruction? What did he do? In the light of what I've said from verse 16 to verse 18, and what would he have the church to do? It's in the words of our text. Simply cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Throw it in him, as the word cast suggests. So in trying to look at this text today, this morning, there are the matters that I will try to bring before you is first of all to inquire very briefly here what is a burden. Then to notice secondly what are some of the burdens in human experience. And the third thing is to look at it in the providence of God, the burden given. Sometimes, literally, when it says, cast your burden, it is cast your gift or cast your portion. What's implied is what the Lord gives us. And then the promise at the end, if we have time, he will sustain us. He will never cause the righteous to be moved. Well, firstly, what are we talking about when we speak about a burden? Now, it's quite wide, the subject, but we all understand what a burden is. In the literal sense, it is the carrying of something that is heavy. That's what we immediately think of. We read of beasts of burden. And that's what people had to, in days gone by, to carry heavy loads. It's having to carry something from one place to another. That thought comes into it. And just from the physical point of view, if we have a heavy load to carry, of course, in the modern day, if we have to carry something from one place to another, in the modern day, we can carry burdens, loads, by mechanical means. And some of you understand that very well. But we often come across the word in Scripture, for example, in the Old Testament, you read of the burden of prophecy. Now, that was a burden. It wasn't just a burden that the prophets had to deliver, but very often connected with the burden of prophecy or the burden of the word of the Lord, that it had to do with doom and judgment that was coming upon a land or coming upon Israel. You come across the terminology from time to time in the Scripture. And of course, from the Christian context, just to give you an example, in the office of the ministry, the word of the Lord is a burden. A congregation is a burden. The souls of our people are a burden. And it can be a heavy burden. But that just gives you a little indication of what is intended. And by way of explanation. But I want to come into the second thing and to look perhaps in a little more detail what are some of the burdens in human experience. Now, God did not create man to carry a burden. We read that every man shall bear his own burden. There's not a person upon the face of the earth where they were speaking in a Christian context or in a non-Christian context. They don't have some burden. And indeed, it's bound up with these two things in the psychology of man: anxiety and care. That's really what's in a burden, with regards to human experience. And of course, why does man have a burden? How does human nature come to be burdensome and have burdens of one kind or another? It arises out of the fact of sin. That's how it's come about. That man is so weighed down as he is by anxiety and care. Now, looking at that, it's a wide subject. And perhaps we will be scraping a little bit along the surface of the subject in the short time that we have. But the reason why man has a burden, the first thing to mention, arising out of human experience, that man has a burden and care, which the brute beasts don't have. Which the animal world don't have. Man has a burden because he has a soul. He has a soul, he has a spirit. That's what it's all about. And perhaps, whether we're converted or not, perhaps when we have anxieties about whatever it be, whether it be family or health or money or business or whatever, and we're weighed down with burden, care, the Lord may be saying one thing: you have a soul. That's something people don't think about. At least the world doesn't think about it anyway, though the unconverted. As sinful beings in this world, let us not forget this point. If there wasn't such a thing as a burden, if we had no burdens, no cares, then how soon would we forget the Creator? It's very often under the burden of anxiety and care that we begin to consider the Creator. It makes us realize that we have a soul. Now, I know there's another side to this argument sometimes, of course, the wicked, the ungodly, harden themselves against God when the Lord places burdens upon them, but or allows or permits burdens to be laid upon them. They harden themselves, they rebel. They go farther and farther away from God and will have nothing to do with him. But that again is another area we could debate on, but we'll leave it at that just now. But the greatest burden that any person have, if we realize the fact that we have a soul, whatever else touches us, whatever secondary thoughts come into our experience or into our providence, the greatest burden that we have is the guilt of sin upon the conscience. That's it. That's the underlying root. That's the underlying cause, whether we believe it or not, whether we feel it or not, whether we care about it or not. That's your problem and mine by nature, that we have a burden of sin and guilt, a burden on our backs, a burden on our conscience. The burden of the fact that God exists, that we have to deal with God, that we have sinned against God. Do any of you feel that today before the Lord, that we have sinned against Him, against the only, have I sinned? Remember, every other burden, weight, load, flows from that. So few of us realize, so few of us think, the heavy burden that's upon the lost in a lost eternity, under the weight of the wrath of God against sin, where there is no relief, never getting out of it. Now, having laid that foundation, that thought, of course we have to, and I'm just going to summarize it, the world, and not least the world in which we live, with all its activity, its pressures, is full of burden and care. And amidst that, all that burden and care, it is full of vanity and full of emptiness. That's the reality of it. In so many areas of life, family, job, business, here, food and clothing, what we eat, what we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? It's all a burden. And that is something that is characteristic of the modern age. Despite how advanced it all is, it is full of vanity, it is full of emptiness. And people's lives are extremely empty. There's the burden of health. Many are given that burden. And there's a lot of that today. Despite how far we are advanced in medical science and so on, burden of health, the burden of care, the burden of old age, the burden of dying. We're loaded with it. And at the end of it all, whether a person's life is long or short, man goes to the dead and leaves it all behind. Of course, from a Christian point of view, from a Christian perspective, Paul warns the Philippians, where he says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. He's telling them to avoid over-anxious care, unnecessary fretting, unnecessary burden, because that can lead to unbelief, distrust of God. And when the Christian is over anxious, overburdened, and always fretting, he's not trusting. He's not leaving it with the Lord. He's not casting it upon the Lord as he should. I know human nature being what it is, here people worry, and it's so difficult sometimes to get be totally free from that. But there is such a thing. Some are more given to worry and anxiety than others. Sometimes it is unnecessary. But what I'm trying to open to your mind is, to open to your view is the extent of the burden of care that is. And some have burdens with families, some have problems with families, some have financial burden. There's a whole host of things so adaptable to this particular scripture. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Well, these are just, in a very light way, very superficial way, these are just one or two thoughts that are touching on human experience, something that we're familiar with in one way or another. Every single one of us, every man has his own burden to bear. But it leads me into the third thing, the providence of God, that it's something that is given. In the providence of God, it falls out to men, and it falls, it's not just to the world, but it falls out to the Lord's people. It falls out, as I explained already, about the words, cast thy burden on the Lord. Cast what he has given thee, or cast thy gift, or cast thy portion upon the Lord, whatever it be. That's what David is doing here, and as I've drawn your attention particularly to his action, this action which, and this exhortation, this instruction that he leaves with the church, and what he does himself, he, verse 18, as for me, I will call upon God, the Lord will save me. So, the first thought here is, with regards to this, that is given from God. Why does God cast a burden? Why does he give us burdens to bear? In his dealings with man, because all is from him. Remember, there doesn't matter what falls out to the children of men, whether it's in a spiritual, providential, or whatever way it comes, there's a divine hand at the back of it. And then, why then? Sometimes you hear people, and perhaps in extremities and in adversities, saying, why did this happen to me? Why should this happen to me? What have I done to deserve this? You'll hear people using that language. Rather than considering their own condition and relationship to the Creator. But this first point here, in connection with this part of it, why God gives it to us, gives us this portion, it's a gift. It comes freely. You see, man is born to trouble, as the scripture says, as the sparks fly upwards. But why does God give to man as a sinner this portion, this gift of a burden? And I mentioned the very first thing at the outset, that you have a soul that is to be in existence forever, as long as God is in existence, never to go out of existence. Oh, would that would be a burden to you. That's how you're going to spend eternity in the presence of God, and happiness or woe. But I'll tell you why he gives you the gift. And those of you who are converted will understand a little of this. God places it on you that you may seek him. It's for your good. Whatever the means, whatever be the nature of the burden, you see, sometimes he places people in situations to the end that he may bring sinners to himself, but primarily that you would seek God. Seek God. He deals with men for a reason. It is his hand. You see, I believe, you see, in every burden, whatever it is, in every burden, every weight, even the lesser things that we perhaps don't pay much attention to, I believe that when God does it, he's laying his hand on a person. Only that sinners would recognize God's hand. We so often look at the secondary causes way up and try to analyze the secondary causes. But we don't, as we ought to anyway, consider the great first cause, why God lays his hand on sinners. But this is the primary reason that you would seek him. And before a person examines the secondary causes, this is what sin is seeking, is that they would go to the great first cause and find out by faith, through his word, why am I in this situation? Why is my soul burdened? Why am I cast down? Why am I in trouble? Why am I afflicted in my body? Why am I afflicted in my family? Why am I afflicted in my estate? Why am I afflicted in my business? Why? Well, God gives us that you may seek him. And that's what we really long to see. Sinners beginning to consider, first of all, the Lord in it all. Now, let us look as to why this burden is given. Let us look at it more particularly in the Christian context. Because there is an argument, there is a case where the Lord lays more burdens in this world upon his people than he does about the world. You have that complaint. That was another burden to the psalmist. Psalm 73. And the world had no burdens at all, so to speak. And they enjoyed prosperity and so on. And the Christian, seeking to live the life of faith, was ever in trouble and in affliction. But if you study Psalm 73 for yourselves, when he came to the sanctuary of God, he saw it from another point of view. But coming more particularly to the Christian, you see, the Christian particularly, there is in the Christian burden, let's put it like that, in the Christian burden, there is the burden of sin. That's a Christian's biggest burden. His own personal sin. And I'll tell you, if you become a Christian, it's your sin will be your greatest burden. Whatever other burdens you will have to carry through life. And we tell you that. Sometimes it is in connection with that, and it arises, I'm speaking from a Christian viewpoint here, the burden of affliction. Sometimes affliction arises from fatherly chastisements. God chastises hides his face from his children for their good, nothing penal in it, but it expresses his displeasure when his people sin through unbelief or whatever, through carelessness. The trial of fatherly chastisement. Look at Job, and look at David, who wrote the Psalm, and Job particularly lost everything in a day, one of the most prosperous men in the East, and one of the most godly men. How he lost everything in a day, his family, his estate, lost his health, everything in a moment. Satan was given leave to tempt him and to try him. And the challenge of Satan was that Job was only a religious man because of his prosperity and because he prospered. So God put that to the test. And Job had to go through an awful lot. But when Job was tried, he came forth as gold. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold, and come forth as gold, that he did. And of course for Job, he could say, in the midst of his trials and sorrows, and very few have had the extent of trial that Job had, apart from the Redeemer, in the suffering of the cross, who was of course bearing the greatest burden of all, the burden of the world's sin. And that's what we've got to remember. Of course, I'll come to this in a moment, about what we're to do with our burdens. We may think we have heavy burdens, but that is nothing in contrast with the burden bearer. Ere the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you see, going back to the gift of the portion, when the God lays upon any man a burden, whatever be the nature of the burden, the Lord places it upon him, upon man, and they're only light and compared to the burden that Christ had to bear, who was a great sin bearer. He had no sin of his own, but he is the substitute. He is the sin bearer. He is the Lamb of God who taketh up and beareth away the sin of the world. And what a burden was laid upon the shoulders of the blessed Redeemer. Well, this is what Job had, and Job didn't see the fulfillment of that. But Job's faith went out to this, that in the midst of his burden and anxiety and care, and Job had plenty of it, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He had a Redeemer. Oh, whatever burdens men may have in this life is good for them if they can say they have a Redeemer. So this is where we're directed to. When the Lord gives us a burden, then when the Lord places upon us a burden, the burden of soul, the burden of his word, oh, the burden of sin and guilt, the burden of law, his law, the burden of justice, what a thought, what a burden it lays upon an awakened conscience. The burden of a perfect law that is exceeding broad, and the burden of justice. as it were, sitting upon conscience. What a thought! How do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of it? But why does the Lord give it to you as a gift? We might think of all our good things in this life and this world as gifts from God, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But it's not just our good things, our fatherly chastisement, our trials in this world, our afflictions, our troubles. That is, these are all gifts from God. They're part of our portion, our inheritance in this world, given from Him. But why does He give them? Why does He give us sorrow? Why does He give us sadness of heart? Why does He afflict us? It is, of course, it's to consider Him. He does it. This is why. Notice the words, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It's that we might throw it back at Him. Cast it on Him. Cast it upon Him. You see, who's the burden bearer? You know what it is in the physical, material sense to be carrying something heavy and for somebody to give you a hand. You see, this is another aspect of the soul of man. You see, the Lord gives His burdens, but we're not to carry them ourselves. We're not to carry them ourselves. There's a great burden bearer. There's a great burden bearer. We're singing in Psalm 89. In vision to thy Holy One, thou saidst, thy help upon a strong one laid out of the folk. I raised a chosen one. A chosen one. And he it is. And you've heard this so often. He's the one that's at the center of the gospel. That who became the burden bearer of sinners. The burden bearer of sinners. He himself, what a wonder it is, in the psalm we sung, from the very womb. He himself, as the man, Psalm 22, the verses we sung, and I was cast upon thy care, even from the womb till now, and until now. Have you ever thought of these words? Until now, I was cast upon thy care, the care of God, even from the womb till now. What's the meaning of the words, until now? Until now, Calvary's a cursed tree. Be not far off, for grief is near, and none to help is found. This is where we are to take it. This is what, if we understood our burdens, if we understood our care, our anxiety, our misery, and especially our sin and guilt, and the burden of our soul, and the burden of anxiety, and our whole question of dealing with God, this is where you're to take your burden and lay your burden, is to come to Calvary, is to look, Him who says, look unto me and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, a divine Savior, mighty to save, mighty to relieve you from your burden, whatever that burden may be. But what is that? What is that burden compared to the burden of sin and guilt? Many complain of their troubles unnecessarily, and they're only very light. What's that in contrast with with her sin and her guilt and her misery by nature, and the burden of her soul. Where are you? If you're under concern of soul this day, if you have that burden, it's good. It's God that's given to you that burden. And he's giving you that burden, and you're feeling it in a measure. That's nothing to what it'll be in eternity if you're lost, but in a measure. And he's given it to you that you may seek him, find him, cast your care and cast your burden upon him, to throw it back on him that he may carry it for you. He's dealt with it. Anyway, of course, the work of redemption is finished. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care, not just some of it. And one thing you're not to do is, if you would learn to come to cast your burden on the Lord, is and seeking him in prayer, and to tell him, seek to be familiar with God. Tell him what you feel. Tell him your state. Tell him your anxiety. Go to him with it. He keeps all secrets. And he knows, not only is he able to keep secrets, none will know it or none will hear it. He's faithful, more faithful than man. But he's able to deal with it. He is able to help you. That's what's in the invitation of the gospel. Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Ah. And I will give you rest. And here's a burden that is very light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, in simple words, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That is, uphold thee. And he shall uphold thee. I will uphold thee. That's what it means. Whatever he gives you, I will never, never leave you, never forsake you. You've got the promises in the Bible, so rich, so true, so faithful, if you trust him. I was going to say, it slipped my mind as I was speaking about, I was talking about the Savior, this great burden bearer, bearing sin, and the sufferings, not just the sufferings of his body, but sufferings of his soul. But I was going to say about the Savior when he was being led after leaving Pilate's judgment hall and going outside the gates of the city to be crucified. See, everyone had to bear his cross. And there's a lot in it. But we read in the gospel narrative that they laid hold of one, whoever he was, Alexander of Cyrene, and that is those who were leading the Savior out, him they compelled to bear his cross after him. Now of course that was perhaps done with certain criminals in crucifixion, less under the wood, faint or collapse and die under the weight of the wooden cross. But of course, it's left in Scripture for a very good reason. But, you know, thinking of that scene, you know, the Savior having to bear the heavy end, and Alexander would of course take up the lighter end, but there's a spiritual application in it about the Lord, the gifts, the portions the Lord gives his people. Is he gives us the light end, but this is, if we're looking in the direction of Calvary and seeking the help of the Son of God and have a divine Savior, having a Redeemer, then we are, of course, we are to bear our cross after Christ. And we must remember, you see, this is the relationship and the union that his people have with him. Yes, they have their cross to bear, but he has carried the heavy end, and it's the light end his people have to bear. But what I'm trying to bring out of all of this is that when you have burdens, whatever be the nature of the burden, it's your portion, it's his gift, and you are to cast it on him. Well, you're finally the promise. He will sustain us. I've touched on that already. He will never cause the righteous to be moved. He will uphold us. The body is sustained by food. It's just he will help us, as he is the great burden bearer. He will give grace to help in time of need. As I've already quoted, he has laid help upon one that is mighty. And surely whatever our burden is, or whatever may be weighing us down, or potentially to weigh us down, surely this is what is sufficient for us. What was said to Paul when he was tormented with a thorn in the flesh, and that was a burden to him. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. That just means to be shaken or moved from his place, from his hope. He will never be moved. He might be afraid of it many a time. And perhaps the greatest fear he has in one, all that he has to bear, is the thought, the fear of God forsaking him, leaving him. That's a great fear. That's something the Christian has. That's a burden to the Christian. That God would leave him, that God would forsake him, that his enemies would get the better of him. But if we cast our burden on the Lord, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved from his place or shaken. He's at my right hand, said the psalmist, Psalm 16. I shall not move it be. Because of this, my heart is glad, and joy shall be expressed even by my glory and my rest and my flesh in confidential rest. To me, he will never be shaken from his hope, because he's sustained, he's upheld by the Lord. And that's what we'll find, and that's what we'll discover if we would learn, and if we would come to put our trust and our confidence, to cast our burden on the Lord. He will sustain thee. We have the promise. And even if we're fearful that the Lord will forsake us and leave us, we have the promise, I will never, never leave. I will never, never forsake thee. So in the light of the word, whatever your burden of care and anxiety may be today, then this is instruction and encouragement. Where to go with it? What to do with it? Where to leave it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May he bless his word to us. Bless our thoughts upon the word, and help us to look to thyself and commit our cares and our cause to thee. Help us to sing to thy praise and conclusion. Come out in the evening with us. Grant thy presence and blessing be with all who have burdens, and the burden of care and anxiety this day, and the burden of bereavement. Remember him who has lost his brother, and uphold him, and indeed all the family, and the family of the deceased. And be very gracious to them, and grant them the comforts and the consolations of thy grace, and may they come to cast their burden on thee. Take away our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.